Welcome back in Campbell in Knezovic, kicking off hour two. I'm Michelle Knezovic, joined with Junie Riddle in for Elijah Campbell today. And we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCounty.com. And we welcome in Mr. Joe Rexroad, who you are used to hearing in the morning. Joe, how are we doing today? How are you doing on your day off?
Oh, I'm doing great. It's good to hear you. You guys sound great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great this morning, Joe. Looks like our roles have reversed a little bit. But Joe, we're gonna get right into it. So don't worry, we're talking Warriors a little bit later in this segment. But we're gonna start with Tennessee a little bit. Joe, you've talked with Robbie a lot this week on how you think that Tennessee might want to look into potentially adding a veteran wide receiver once that Julio Jones money comes back. But you also said how one of your biggest, you know, worries for this team is the offensive line. Do you think it would be more beneficial for Tennessee to look into maybe adding somebody for the O-line in free agency rather than another veteran receiver?
I mean, it's a thought. I think they're both worthwhile thoughts. No one comes to mind as a great option. I mean, I feel like they made a reasonable add with Jamarco Jones. I mean, I think that at the very least, a decent depth add. You know, hopefully for them, he works out better than Kendall Lamb did, you know, a year ago. I mean, I think both positions are worth considering for sure. There's no one who jumps out at me. I mean, the person who jumped out at me as a decent option was Dennis Kelly, who, you know, had a lot of good years here, and the Colts picked him up. If there's somebody else, I think as they go through the spring, if they aren't feeling good about probably more than one of those guys who are kind of bouncing around between left guard and right tackle, then they may, you know, feel that they have to go out there and look for somebody else.
All right, Joe. So I listen to you all in the morning every day that I drive into work, and I always hear you talk about how the Titans made a mistake when they traded A.J. Brown. And I personally disagree with that, but I wanted to hear your reasoning behind why you think they shouldn't have traded A.J. Brown.
Well, because I think he's a great player, and because I think he's on the ascent right now as a player. Now, look, I could be wrong for sure. Maybe the injuries will continue. You know, I think the thing about A.J. Brown and his injury situation for me is, you know, it's not one thing that's like a chronic issue. He had a hamstring a little bit last year. He had a shoulder a little bit last year. He did have his knees cleaned up, and that was something that bothered me at an ankle. I mean, granted, nagging injuries, could that get worse? Yes. And his numbers aren't eye-popping, but for anybody who watched A.J. Brown play, I think A.J. Brown's going to be one of the top 5 to 7 receivers in the NFL over the next few years, and I think you want that on your team. And it's very unrealistic to think you're going to go into the draft and say, hey, Treylon Burks, he's kind of comparable to A.J. Brown. Pick him up, and he'll just plug him in, and he'll be the next A.J. Brown. And look, beyond that, I understand the contract situation was troubling, and he and his agent were playing hardball, but I think it would have been worked out. I think they would have found common ground. They probably would have paid more than they wanted to pay for him, but I personally think he's worth it. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens with him in Philly. I think this offense is due for a pretty significant step back at this point from last year to this year.
Joe, would you rather pay A.J. Brown or Jeffrey Simmons?
Well, I'd pay both. But if you're giving me, like, you have to choose one.
You have to choose one, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'll pick Jeffrey Simmons. I think having a dominant player at that position, I mean, it's close for me, very close. But I would go Simmons. I mean, I think that he's also heading into this phase of his career where he's going to be, it might be Aaron Donald, Jeffrey Simmons, then everybody else here in the next few years. And I think he's that good. So it would be very close, but I would go that way.
So, Joe, we all know that the motor of this Titans offense goes through the running game. With Derrick Henry coming off that huge injury that sidelined him for half the season last year, do you think that he is going to bounce back at 100% and kind of elevate the Titans offense a little bit more this year?
Well, I think, I have no reason to think that he won't be, 100% healthy. I don't have much reason to think that he will be less than great. I mean, I think he'll be great this year. I think there's there's reason to maybe try to reduce his workload a little bit and try to preserve him. But I think he's going to be really effective, really good. My biggest question about Derrick Henry would be what's around him. Again, it's not good for Derrick Henry that A.J. Brown's not on that field anymore, because A.J. Brown is a good enough player to actually take a safety and creep him a couple steps out of the box. He's a good enough player to be bracketed and to help Derrick Henry. And they don't have anybody else who scares people right now on the outside. And then, of course, the offensive line. I mean, Roger Saffold was such a great run blocker, arguably the best run blocking interior lineman in the NFL over the last few years. I mean, he's right up there. So you take him out of the equation now, and again, you have those questions at left guard and right tackle. So you take the primary weapon from the outside away, and again, to me, it's not realistic to think Treylon Burks is going to come close to filling that hole. Now, I think that, he's going to play, he's going to get every opportunity, and he could have a good rookie season, but is Treylon Burks going to be scaring people like A.J. Brown did the last couple of years? I doubt it. So that's my concern with Derrick Henry, is just that the offense in general is going to make it easier for teams to load up on him and be effective in stopping him. And look, last year, I mean, he lost a yard per carry on his average, and I think a lot of that was the offensive line last year taking a step back.
So Derrick Henry, one of the guys not at OTAs. Let's look at who was. So Joe, you were there for a little bit of the practice and saw some videos. Was there anything specific that stood out to you or something promising on the field that you saw from any of the rookies?
Yeah, I mean, I think, first of all, I think that Treylon Burks, when he was out there, looks like, anybody who saw him play at Arkansas, I mean, he's big, he moves well, he's smooth. There's all the talk, rightfully so, about Treylon Burks missing these drills and why is that happening and why can't anybody give a straight answer and all that stuff. Is that going to continue? And that's going to be a story. I think we get another day this coming week and we'll be looking for Treylon Burks. But when he is out there, I mean, I think he looks pretty good, catching the football. I think Chigakwankwo, I think I just butchered the name, Okonkwo.
Nice job, Joe. It's okay.
Yes. No, I mean, he looks the part. It's going to be interesting to me with him once they get into, full team stuff. Is he a guy who can be an effective inline blocker as a rookie? That kind of held back Jonnu Smith. Jonnu Smith immediately, they're like, wow, look at that guy. And watch him in practice, holy cow. But he didn't do a lot as a rookie, in part because, he still, he hadn't developed every part of his game, and they didn't feel great about him as an inline blocker. Will Chig be able to do that as a rookie? I don't know, but he definitely looks like a guy who can be a weapon downfield. So as I think about the rookies, those two guys come to mind. I mean, Theo Jackson, definitely I think looks like a really nice late round pick, and I think he's got a chance to be the third safety. And I liked Roger McCreary. I mean, he's comfortable pressing. He's got quick feet. It's going to be interesting to me to see where he, where his reps are devoted, once they get into camp. They view him as an outside guy. Is it possible he could, he could be competing for an outside starting spot, or is he more competing with Molden inside? I think it would be better for them if he can be an outside corner, because I think Elijah Molden should be a pretty good player as the primary slot corner in his second season.
Joe, Michelle sent me a fiery text message this week about a CBS Sports article over the top 10 defenses in the NFL, and the Titans were omitted from that list. Do you think the Titans are a top 10 defense, and what will it take for them to be in that conversation?
Yeah, I really do. Yeah, I was surprised by that. I think that's just an oversight. I forget who wrote that article, but I really think that's just an oversight. And if I remember, I think there might have been six. In fact, I'm trying to find it now. I think did they have six AFC defenses in there ahead of them? I think that's a big mistake. You know, I think the corner position we just talked about, that's the question. But you look at everywhere else. I mean, I think the Titans have a case as the best front seven in the NFL. If Bud Dupree, you know, there's some ifs in there. If Bud Dupree is going to have a big second season now that he's not, he has an offseason of work rather than rehab, then, man, I mean, Simmons and Autry, Landry gets signed. You got Zach Cunningham in there. I think a lot of people, I mean, I think about the draft coverage too. How many people have the Titans taking an inside linebacker? I think that's a great example of no one knows who David Long is still around the league. Yep. Now, people here know who he is. He's a really good player. But that's the only answer I can come up with is that people don't realize that, like, David Long Jr. is a good football player and is a big part of why Jayon Brown and Rashawn Evans are elsewhere, because the Titans are devoted to Long. I think Long Cunningham inside is a dynamite tandem. So, you know, the safety tandem obviously is really good. It comes down to corner, you know, and if they shore up that other outside spot, whether it's Caleb Farley, McCreary, you know, you want, to me, if you're the Titans, you want one of those two guys to take over that spot and be an effective every week starter, because if you have that, I think they've got everything they need to be. I think they could be, I mean, I think they have a case, if everything broke well for them, they could be right there pushing as one of the top two or three defenses in the NFL, potentially.
Right behind your Bills that you love so much. Talking to Joe Rexroad.
That's right.
From The Athletic and our show, Robbie and Rexroad in the morning. Joe, I saw a tweet of yours last night. The Vols are the first team in SEC history to win the SEC title in basketball and baseball in the same year. And your tweet was, are you picking the Vols or the field to win in Omaha? Do you think that they'll be challenged a little bit more once they get outside of conference play? And do you think that Tony Vitello is on his way to a national championship?
Well, that's the crazy thing is, you know, it's almost like a joke, you know. I mean, the SEC every year is like, oh, whew, get away from the SEC and you play some other teams in the NCAA tournament. It's finally a break, because the SEC is, you know, it's incredibly stacked. But what the Vols did in that league and this past weekend, too, it was really nothing to play for other than they just love beating the brains in of everybody they play. And that's exactly what they did again. So, I mean, obviously any sort of you know, this team or the field, it's always the field, right?
But barely here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's they're such an overwhelming favorite. I thought it was kind of an interesting idea. Like, man, I think they just look like clearly the best team. But there's still nothing like the pressure of the NCAA tournament. And, you know, the Vanderbilt teams in over the past 15 years have run into the pressure, or just a team that rises up and beats them. You know, excuse me, 2007, David Price, you know, Michigan shocks them in the regional. And they've had a couple other teams that lost earlier than they should have. So we'll see. I mean, I think the pressure to get to Omaha is massive. They're going to be home. It's going to be a huge advantage. I think if they get there, I think last year's experience should help them. And I think they, I mean, I expect them to win it all. I do. I think when you have the starters that they have, the arms that they have, and then forget the lineup, take the lineup out of it. Just the pitching that they have, which is the biggest surprise in the team, I like their chances a lot.
And finally, your Warriors have their matchup for the NBA Finals. They're playing the Celtics. Joe, are they going to do it again and, you know, kind of rival for that legacy of the 90s Bulls?
you said to throw the Bulls at me, didn't you?
I had to, Joe.
Well, what is it? So this is six finals in 8 years,
yep.
Which I think is the same thing that the Bulls did. Of course, the Bulls won all those
finals. Every
time. Yeah. But to be fair to the Bulls, and I mean, really, not just being a Bulls hater. I mean, some of the Bulls competition in some of those finals, you know, weren't great. Some were, like Barkley's Suns, for example. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where they rank among dynasties, but some people were questioning whether they were a dynasty. I mean, that's out the window now, I think. And I think they are going to win this series, but I think it's a really good series. I think it's a really tough matchup. Tatum, obviously, and Brown, you know, those guys are tough matchups for them. And they play incredible defense, and they're going to be all over Steph Curry, and Marcus Smart's going to be kicking his feet out and all this stuff. And, you know, I mean, it's going to be a tough series. I'm looking forward to it. But, yeah, I mean, you have to like the Warriors and their depth. And if they get Porter back and they get Payton back, maybe even Iguodala, the depth difference in these teams might be the difference in the series.
I agree. I hope we get some competitive games to match a competitive series. Who are you taking? You taking Warriors in seven?
I think I think I'm going to go Warriors in six.
Okay,
seven game series would be awesome, but I think I'll go six.
Okay, you go Warriors in six. Junie goes Warriors in seven. I go Celtics in seven. Joe Rexroad, thank you so much.
Warriors hater.
Thank you so much for hopping on with us on your day off. We'll see you tomorrow, and congratulations to your son Jack for graduating high school this weekend. And that was a busy weekend in the Rexroad household.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much. Keep rocking, guys. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks.
Okay. Bye, Joe. Thank you.
Later, Joe. Thanks.
Joe Rexroad from The Athletic hosts our morning show with Robbie Stanley. Robbie and Rexroad, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. We'll recap what Joe said, a couple of his takes from the Titans. We'll talk a little Vols, and we'll also talk a little NBA action. You're listening to 102.5 The Game, 106.3, and The Game Nashville app. Welcome back in Campbell and Knezovic. I'm Michelle Knezovic, joined with Junie Riddle in for Elijah Campbell today. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Games Studio talking Titans. If you want to join in on the conversation, you can text us, you can call us, 615-737-1025. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Text us, call us. We want to hear your thoughts on the Tennessee Titans offseason, or text us anything specific that you want us to touch on. We just had Joe Rexroad on from The Athletic, also hosts our morning show, Robbie and Rexroad. So I'm with Joe every morning at the crack of dawn, 6 a.m. to 10. So Joe got to sleep in a little bit this morning, and so did I. So that was really nice. But Joe, one thing stood out to me about Joe's answers, and I want to ask you about it. It was the question I asked him about: would you sign Jeffrey Simmons or AJ? And he answered both if he could, right? But he ultimately would pick Jeffrey Simmons, which is kind of the conversation we were having a segment or two before Joe hopped on the phone with us. I don't even think it would be feasible for Tennessee. And I mean, don't get me wrong, everybody says the cap is fake, or some people say the cap is fake and you can manipulate it in different ways. But wouldn't you rather have more depth at receiver that are, you know, solid people Ryan Tannehill can count on, rather than a receiver whose ceiling might be through the roof, but we just don't know yet? And I mean, if you're going to pay AJ Brown, it's just so hard, because at first I looked at it like, yes, he's going to be that good. But then if you look at it from a business standpoint, John Robinson, and it's the NFL, so anybody can get hurt any day of the week, but he hasn't seen it yet. You've seen glimpses of it. You've seen little sparkles of it, but hasn't given you things that Tyreek Hill, Davante Adams, those guys have done to get those contracts. In addition, they're in their later 20s.
100% no. So when it comes to the AJ thing, AJ Brown was not a top 10 receiver in any of the years that he's played so far. Yes, he's a young guy. Yes, he has talent, but in my opinion, this all comes down to your philosophy of team building. And from what I've seen from the last decade or so of Super Bowl champions, whether it's been the New England Patriots, whether it's been the Denver Broncos, the Seattle Seahawks, or the Pittsburgh Steelers, you don't really see these teams have overpaid superstar wide receivers. It's normally when you have a really good defense, you have an offensive line that can protect your star quarterback, your guy, the guy that isn't like in charge of your franchise. And if you have those things in play, you can make do with average to, you know, decently good wide receivers.
Or you have rookies who are stars, like Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, who will be superstars, but you are lucking out that they are still on their rookie contracts. So you don't have to pay them yet. I mean, look at the Bengals right now. They're able to beef up on their offensive line because they can have these guys for cheap, but that's not going to be the case in a couple of years, and they're not going to be able to keep all of them.
And that's the thing, too. And you look at the Super Bowl champions this year, the Los Angeles Rams with Cooper Kupp. I mean, Cooper Kupp is not the highest paid wide receiver. I mean, he gets paid a good amount, but, you know, he was asked if he was going to hop in on this, you know, revolutionary movement. You know, it seems like this has been the offseason that wide receivers are looking for their payday. And when Cooper Kupp was posed with this question, he was like, yeah, I'd rather win. I like the roster that we have. I don't want to be that guy. You know, I'd rather other people get it so that we keep the depth and keep adding talent to build off the season that we had last year. And I think that's the mentality that you should look at it. If you have your guy at quarterback, if you have an offensive line that can do it, and a defense, a championship-level defense, that is the key to winning a Super Bowl. And I just don't think that paying a lot of money like the Cowboys did with Ezekiel Elliott or, you know, overpaying for a wide receiver is the way that you win Super Bowls. The really only one that I've seen that it worked with is Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. But you also got to look that Patrick Mahomes is a once-in-a-generational kind of talent. Like, he's considered, in my opinion, the best quarterback in the NFL right now. And he also had, you know, the best tight end in the league. So they were kind of just overpowered on the offensive side. But if you look at your average Super Bowl winner, it's built off of a star quarterback, a good offensive line, and championship defense. And with that, a good quarterback is going to make receivers look better than what they are.
Well, and Patrick Mahomes had the big contract, but that's not new for quarterbacks.
No.
I mean, his contract, yes, but how many times have we also seen Tom Brady adjust his contract so that they can get more capital off of?
Oh, Tom Brady is so underpaid. I mean, you're talking about a guy that was middle of the road when it comes to being paid as a quarterback. I mean, he was like average in the league, and that's insane to think about that he's won 7 Super Bowls and continuously takes pay cuts because you want to know why?
He wants to win.
Tom Brady wants to win. And that, and bottom line is if you win in this league, money will come in other ways. Tom Brady, with all of his endorsements, all of his advertising campaigns, all the people that he's sponsored by, all the things that he's getting paid to do in the offseason, it's ridiculous, and it's because he's a winner. I mean, you can say, yeah, like his wife is a supermodel. He doesn't really need the money. That's a good excuse and all. But I think success brings more money than, you know, you just getting a payday from your team.
Well, you look at Devontae Adams wanting that big contract and going to the Raiders. I mean, think of how huge of a loss that is for the Packers. And when you still have Aaron Rodgers at the head of your team and you're in a Super Bowl push because you have Aaron Rodgers and you did have Devontae Adams, and he said, nope, I want to take my paycheck and go to the Raiders. Like, that's a huge loss for them. Think of the Packers again this year. If he were to get paid maybe a little bit less, they'd be in Super Bowl contender again.
Well, I think the Packers still will be a Super Bowl contender. Yes. Just because they address so much on the defensive end, and that's why they drafted in the first round. They also went out and got a guy that I really liked, Christian Watson out of North Dakota State. I mean, this is a 6'4", runs a 4.4, and is really agile, and I think that Aaron Rodgers is going to turn him into a stud. So the Green Bay Packers can do this because of the talent of Aaron Rodgers and how he can elevate the guys around him. They're not worried about paying the number one receiver in the league because they know Aaron Rodgers can enhance the skill set of the receivers that they already have.
Yeah, but nobody's going to replace Devontae Adams.
And I don't, but that's the thing is, like, I don't think that that's what they're looking to do. I think the Green Bay Packers, you know, their defense took a step forward last year, and I think that they're trying to build on that and create an offense to where Aaron Rodgers is making do with what he has because he's so talented that they're going to rely on their defense, try and maybe boast a little bit more on the running game, and then let Aaron do the rest. And like I said, when it comes to the history of football and who's winning Super Bowl, that is the key. Win the line of scrimmage, have a really good defense with some playmakers, and an all-time quarterback that's going to make these average receivers look like superstars in the biggest moments because that's how good they are.
Football, the ultimate team sport. Lots of crazy moves during this offseason. We saw quarterbacks holding out, Aaron Rodgers, for example, Russell Wilson getting traded, receivers getting huge contracts. Where do the Tennessee Titans rank in their offseason? How do they compare to the rest of the AFC and specifically the AFC South? Junior and I are going to discuss that on the other side. You're listening to Campbell and Kinesvik on 102.5 The Game, 106.3 in the Game Nashville app. Welcome back in, Campbell and Knezovic. I'm Michelle Knezovic, joined with Junie Riddle in for Elijah Campbell. Hope everybody's enjoying their Memorial Day. If you have work off, you're enjoying this nice weather here in Nashville. But also take a minute to realize, you know, what this holiday is all about. Take a little self-reflection. I know at the station here we're doing a moment of silence at 3 p.m. today. So happy Memorial Day, everybody. Take a step back, reflect, you know.
I think it's a great day. Love to honor our troops. I got a lot of family members that were in the military, some of which are listening today. So
we got a lot of family listening today. Everybody's off work, so Junie and I sent the link to all of our family members. We got Nick Keezer spinning the tunes today on the board with us. Junie, we talked before we headed to break in with Joe kind of about a lot of the moves that Tennessee made during the offseason, and I mentioned, where do they rank in the AFC South? I mean, they clinched the division the last 2 years. And last year, I mean, with the Colts really being their only real competition. I mean, I know the Houston Texans almost beat Tennessee in that last game before heading into the playoffs. But sweeping the Colts last year was huge because that, you know, that's always going to be a division game. That's always going to be tough. The Colts are very similar to the Titans when it comes to the way that they are made up. They're really based off their running game. Jonathan Taylor really emerged last year. But with the addition of Matt Ryan, which is the big one, they made it no surprise they wanted to get rid of Carson Wentz. Chris Ballard made that very clear in press conferences after the end of the season. And obviously them not making the playoffs, it's just not, it wasn't good for the Colts. And they've had that revolving door of the quarterback between Andrew Luck and then Jacoby Brissett and then Phillip Rivers and then Carson Wentz. And now you've got Matt Ryan also in the quarterback room, Super Bowl champion Nick Foles. What do you think that Matt Ryan is going to be? Do you think that he's going to be a solid quarterback for the Colts? I mean, we've seen him on the Falcons. Obviously, he went to a Super Bowl, but he hasn't had a lot of weapons around him, and now going to the Colts, which have more of a solid team. And the biggest question mark they had to fill was the quarterback position, and they've been doing this for the last 5 years, but they have great pieces around it with Darius Leonard, with Jonathan Taylor. I almost should said Josh. Jonathan Taylor. Words are hard this morning. Do you think that he is the answer and that he could be there for a couple years, or do you think this is another just, okay, I got to fill in somebody and figure it out?
I think Matt Ryan will be there for at least 2 years, Michelle. When the Colts signed Carson Wentz, a lot of people in Nashville especially rejoiced because I thought the Carson Wentz signing just didn't make sense. I think they were looking too much into Frank Reich and his relationship back in Philadelphia and how Carson Wentz was an MVP candidate in 2017. But we have seen Carson Wentz dwindle down over the years. You know, he's not that same player. He kind of broke out, hasn't been the same since that knee injury. And I think with Matt Ryan coming in, he's a little bit more of a poised, conservative, decision-making quarterback that fits this Colts offense a lot better than Wentz. You know, Wentz is, you know, running around, trying to make plays, kind of playing some backyard football-esque. And when you get a guy like Matt Ryan, who's a veteran, who has seen some success, he's been a part of some of the best offenses in the last decade with him and Julio Jones and company in Atlanta, I just think that he fits better with this, especially since he's going to be inheriting one of the better offensive lines in the league. You know, Michael Pittman Jr. is an emerging receiver in this game, and he's going to be his number one target. And this is going to be the best running game that Matt Ryan has had by far. I mean, Jonathan Taylor coming off the season that he had last year, and I just don't see how anybody can't say as of right now that he is not the best running back in the league. Derrick Henry can reclaim his crown, but as of right now, it's Jonathan Taylor. He is the king, but I mean, right now the king was dethroned last year, not to his own fault. You know, he was injured, he is out, but until we see Derrick Henry come back and be Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor is the best back in the league. And with Matt Ryan coming in, being the veteran he is, being a very accurate, good decision-making that he is, he's not going to be making the silly mistakes that Carson Wentz made, especially in the games against the Titans. I mean, Carson Wentz lost that game when they played in Indianapolis last year because of careless mistakes. And I'm here to tell you guys, Matt Ryan isn't going to make those same mistakes.
I agree, Junie. I think the Matt Ryan, I mean, a lot of people are like, no, like he was with the Falcons. They weren't very good. But I think that Matt Ryan is a solid upgrade from Carson Wentz. I also think that just his leadership ability, he's going to be a little bit closer to what Phillip Rivers was to this team and more of what Frank Reich was looking for in filling that quarterback position this year. And, I mean, we saw it in Hard Knocks, the offseason, when they were following the Colts. A lot of just, I guess you could say, controversy with the whole vaccine situation and Carson Wentz not wanting to get vaccinated and how that affected the entire team, because even though places were starting to open up, the NFL as a whole was still very closed and they had to do testing for the media and the players. At the beginning of training camp last year, we've come a long way in a year and in the last couple years with COVID, but it very much was still in play last training camp with, you know, only certain amount of media members being able to go and having to be tested weekly and sometimes even having to wear masks. So I think that also played a big role in the Carson Wentz just not meshing. Wow, can I just like not speak today? I'm having major, I'm having a lisp a little bit.
We're having some word fumble here on the show this morning.
I'm just so excited. The coffee's kicking in, Junie. But I think the Colts definitely took an upgrade with the addition of Matt Ryan and obviously the other additions Joe mentioned to the offensive line earlier when we had him on. But if you take a look at, you know, the Jags, which last year you kind of can just cancel out that year for them because the whole Urban Meyer situation, I think, just had a really dark cloud over the entire team and the entire organization. There was a lot of hype coming in when they got Trevor Lawrence, and his rookie season was not good because of just all of the outside noise happening in addition to the team not being very good and in a rebuild mode. But I know that you've been very vocal about that you think they're going to be a little bit more of a threat in this division. And also the Houston Texans. I mean, Davis Mills was one of the emerging rookies last year. And everybody can, you know, laugh about the Houston Texans, but they're in the right direction for him. And he put on a show against Tennessee last year and almost got them the win. And now that they don't have any of the Deshaun Watson baggage to have to deal with anymore and they can fully focus on their team, I think that they could make a little step up as well in this division.
Yeah, they made an excellent pick with their first overall pick. I was talking to Caroline Fenton about this. You know, she's went to LSU and she has all the insider knowledge about them. And I, you know, asked this question to her after the first round about Derek Stingley Jr. And I was like, do you think that's a good pick, them picking him over Sauce Gardner? And she, without a doubt, like, said, yes, that was an excellent pick by them. And she, you know, listed her reasonings why. And that just gives me a lot of confidence with the Houston Texans. I mean, Davis Mills had a better season than Trevor Lawrence. I mean, just flat out, I think he was in a little bit better of a situation. And obviously, you know, they have Lovie Smith coming in for his first year. So I think that transition might kind of keep the Houston Texans down a little bit. They have a lot more holes to fill than any other team in the AFC South. But yeah, I think I'm expecting Trevor Lawrence to have a bounce back year in year two. He's going to take a much bigger jump. I mean, we saw it with Joe Burrow this past year. And if I'm picking one guy that's going to have a much better season in from his rookie year to year two, it's going to be Trevor Lawrence. I loved the Doug Peterson hire down there in Jacksonville. He is a great offensive line from the Andy Reid tree of coaching. And with his offensive schemes, and we saw some of that in Philadelphia when they won the Super Bowl, I think it's going to be a great fit. And, you know, given Travis Etienne back, they didn't have him last year, having some mix up in the run game, they went out and got Christian Kirk, may have overpaid for him a little bit. Just a little bit. But I don't know. I see Jacksonville coming out and having a really good year this season. I can definitely see like 8 wins and, you know, sneaking a couple wins against the Colts and Titans. It will not surprise me if they have a pretty solid year this year.
Well, listen, it is almost fantasy football season. And last year I had Trevor Lawrence as a backup, and I am definitely going to pick him again as my backup quarterback this year for fantasy. Start him a couple weeks. I think he's going to have a big bounce back season as well, Junie. And I think we're going to see a little Clemson Trevor Lawrence and really see him emerge as that starting quarterback for Jacksonville. Coming up next, Junie and I have a fun edition of Titans and NFL buy or sell. We're going to throw out a bunch of different scenarios and say whether we are buying it or whether we are selling it. All that coming up on the other side of the break. You're listening to 102.5 and 106.3 The Game and on the Game Nashville app. Jamming in the studio on this Monday morning. Welcome back in Campbell and Knezovic. I'm Michelle Knezovic, joined with Junie Riddle in for Elijah Campbell today. Happy Monday. Happy Memorial Day. If you're off of work, enjoy this beautiful day here in Nashville. It is almost officially summer, and I am very, very happy about that. Junie, right now, we are going to play a little game that is called Buy or Sell. I'm going to throw out a bunch of scenarios, either in the NFL, either within the Tennessee Titans organization, just a bunch of different ones. I've also got some spicy ones in there for you. I'm not letting you see my sheet over here. If you're looking at the stream, I'm holding it up right in front of my face. If you want to join in and let us know whether you would buy or sell, or you have a scenario that you would like to offer us both up, you can text us or call us. We love the interaction at 615-737-1025. The game phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Or if you're listening on the stream, we stream live every day on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Okay, Junie, let's get right into it. Are you ready?
Let's go.
Okay, let's do it. Okay, we talked about these two players a little bit earlier in the show about how we expect them to have both a big, big season on the defensive end. Buy or sell, Junie, Bud Dupree and Jeffrey Simmons combined for 22 sacks this season.
Mm,
can go anyway. It doesn't
sacks.
Have to be even, 11 both end. Just combine for 22.
I'm going to sell that. I think that that is a little much. I think Jeffrey Simmons, I believe he had about eight and a half sacks last season. Bud Dupree in his best season has had 11. So with those totals, I don't think Jeffrey Simmons will get more than 10. I think they'll be right around the 20 mark. I don't want to set the bar too high for them. They're going to be really good. They're going to be really, really good, and they're going to put some pressure. They're going to stop the run really well. But I think 22 is a really, really high number for that sack total. I'm going to sell that.
Okay. This one was hard for me because I think if I would have put it at 20, I think I would have bought it.
I think so too.
Because I think any combination between these two, I think Bud Dupree is going to have a huge year. I think he will have at least 10 sacks this year. I mean, we saw him have, I think, 4, but he didn't play very much last year. And I think just another year off that ACL injury, another year in Tennessee's system. And I also think that Harold Landry, coming off his huge year last year and signing his contract, will have a little bit of a down year. I think he's still going to be, you know, a crucial player in that defense. But I also think Jeffrey Simmons is going to have a big year. I mean, he's still on his rookie contract, like we talked about. If we were John Robinson, we're going to want to give him a big contract. And we know that he's obviously looking for that. And Joe even put him in the conversation with Aaron Donald. So,
I mean, that's who people are comparing him to. He's got another year on that rookie deal in order to get that big extension. Let's see how much he can go out and get.
Exactly. Okay, so 22, a little high for us, but we think 20, those guys could get it done. Okay, switching to the offensive side. Rookie Treylon Burks, the Titans' first-round draft pick, finishes the year with at least 600 yards and 5 touchdowns. I saw that. You were like, and no words came out? Yeah, I know. It's a good one, right?
Listen. I'm not sold on Treylon Burks. I'm not. I'll be the first person to say that I'm not sold on him. But if you're telling me, can he get 600 yards and 5 touchdowns? I'm going to buy it. I think that his ability to find the soft spot in zones, his ability to break tackles in the open field, and just his natural physical ability, he is going to be able to get those numbers. I see him as the third option this season if he can, you know, obviously get into shape and start getting back onto the practice field consistently. But yes, he's going to be that third option behind Robert Woods and Austin Hooper for Ryan Tannehill. And I can see him easily getting 600 yards and being a big, since he sits at 6'3", big body, I can see him as a huge red zone threat, and I think he can get that 5 touchdown mark as well.
So you said your wording there. You said you think he can do it. He can achieve that. but do you think he will?
I think he, I know. All right. I'll adjust my wording a bit.
Adjusted, Junie.
He will do that.
I agree with that one. I think just solely off of how Tennessee is going to need him week one and how much productivity they're going to need from him, because unfortunately, I know it's unfair to say that he needs to fill AJ Brown's shoes, and those are big shoes to fill. He is going to need to be ready week one and ready to be a solid receiver in there. I think it's going to go Robert Woods, him, and then Nick Westbrook-Akina. And obviously, Austin Hooper is going to be, you know, crucial at that tight end position. But I think as far as how much Tennessee is going to need to utilize him, and hopefully he transitions well. We haven't seen much from him. We haven't even got to that yet. We're getting to that in the next hour, the whole Treylon Burks situation, because I haven't seen much of him on the field. But we will. I know you have some spicy takes on that, and if you think that he will be ready to fill those shoes. Okay. Ryan Tannehill will throw 10 interceptions this year. Buy or sell?
I'm going to sell it. Ryan Tannehill normally doesn't throw many interceptions. I mean, he's kind of He's a low-risk guy. I know last year was a little bit indifferent, but I think the depth of the wide receiving core that they have this year rather than last year is going to help with that. Having that tight end, that security blanket. I mean, Jeff Swain as the number one tight end just isn't going to do it for this Tennessee Titans offense. Mm-hmm. So I just think the fact that he has a number one tight end, he's got the ultimate veteran, in my opinion, in Robert Woods. I just think Robert Woods into this offense seamlessly. I think he's literally the perfect receiver for Ryan Tannehill and this offense. So I'm going to say that he is going to be a little bit more careful, knowing that he's on a hot seat, and he's going to protect the ball priority number one.
I agree with that. I think that we've seen and we've heard from Ryan Tannehill how much that Cincinnati game affected him emotionally. I mean, he was very open about his mental health and that he couldn't sleep because he would close his eyes and visualize that game. So I think in his head, he knows what he needs to do. In the offseason, he focused on getting back in the headspace of being an NFL quarterback and getting his mental toughness up to the level of, you know what, that happened. I need to move on. This is a new season. I can't let that be hanging over my head. I'm the starting quarterback this year. But I think he also realizes that they drafted Malik Willis, and 2023's starting quarterback role still has a question mark. And he knows that this season, I mean, he's fighting for his job.
And let's not forget to mention that Derrick Henry will be back, and having that run game is going to take a lot of pressure and a lot of throws that he's going to have to make out of the way.
Okay, another Tannehill question. Will Ryan Tannehill be the quarterback in
2022?
Yes. Bye.
I'm going to sell it. I'm going to sell it. Regardless if it's Malik Willis, I'm not going to sit here and say that Malik Willis will be ready. He might be a 1 to 2 year project. I could definitely see the Titans moving off Tannehill after this season. It's like I said, they have a lot of talent. They've drafted really well the last couple years. I just think that they're going to move off him for money reasons, and they're going to either move to Malik Willis if he's ready, or they are going to go out and get a veteran guy that can just sit in the place for cheaper money so that they can build and enhance this roster to turn it over to Malik Willis eventually, so that when Malik Willis is ready, that he can have a really good roster in place while he's still on his rookie deal.
So the way I look at it is I'm on the same wavelength as you in that I think it's really hard to measure what Ryan Tannehill needs to do this year in order to keep that starting position in 2023. How well does he have to perform? Does he have to go back to 2019 Ryan Tannehill, where he got snubbed from the Pro Bowl and had an incredible season, you know, after he won the starting quarterback job from Marcus Mariota? But a part of me in my head thinks it doesn't really matter how well he performs, that if Malik Willis is showing promising development, that they will look at him as the starter in 2023. And a part of me thinks that I could even see, say, hypothetically, Tennessee makes it to the Super Bowl, I could still potentially see Malik Willis still being the starter in 2023.
See, I'll simplify this for you because I can't. I think this comes down to playoff success. If Ryan Tannehill wins a playoff game this year, he will be the starter in 2023.
A playoff game?
A single playoff game, whether it's wild card, whether it's division, it doesn't matter. If he wins one playoff game, he will come back the following year. But the only issue is I don't see them winning a playoff game. I don't think that they are going to be that good of a team. I see Tennessee as an 8-10 win team in that range. And with that being said, if they win the division, I think they're going to be the worst division winner in the playoffs this year. I'm just being honest.
Hey, I love the honesty. I disagree with one thing you say, but I will give you my answer on the other side of the break. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app.